Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from a series of intros where I don't practice anything, I don't have a script in front of me, and it's all very off the cuff, they say. I don't know who says it, but they should say it. They should also say, this is Interim SRSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. Hey everybody, this is Brandon. And this is just me. Travis is away spending time with his precious, precious family. And I'm coming to you with a new episode. This is a new episode because, well, I've got an interview lined up for you all. But before we get into that, let's make this real quick. Social media stuff. Yeah, Rick and Morty Pod on X, formerly known as Twitter. Facebook.com/ Rick and Morty Podcast. Instagram, Rick and Morty Podcast. Email, Rick and Morty Podcast at gmail.com. And then go over to Blue Sky, rickandmortypod.bsky.social. Go ahead and find us over there because I'm posting a lot more manually over there. And I think it's just it's much more of a positive experience over there. So you can also go to the Rick and Morty Reddit. That's rickandmorty.reddit.com. We have a subreddit. Go ahead and skip that. And then we have a website. You can skip that as well. This is not streaming on youtube.com/ apathetic enthusiasm, but if it were, you could go there and check that out. And of course, to our Patreons, our patrons, patreon.com/ apathetic enthusiasm. Appreciate all of you. Now, this is normally the spot where Travis would say, okay, Brandon, how are you doing? And I would say, in the States, Thanksgiving just ended up being over. It's now over and done. Turkey Day, we've moved into the Christmas season, and I'm so excited for it. I don't know why, but I just have this spirit of Christmas in the air. I personally have the spirit of Christmas in the air. And then what Travis would do here then is then say, okay, well, here's our first segment, semi pertinent news. And then I'd do a little song and dance. And then I'd give you semi-pertinent news, which I didn't actually look any up. So I'm going to skip that. And then Travis would then say, all right, after the break, we'll do our main thing. You won't say that. He'll say that after the break. I'm not going to put an ad break in here because why would I do that? I don't want to do that to you. We're only 3.5 minutes in. So instead, let's get into the main thing. The main thing. Okay, so here's the main thing. A couple weeks ago, I saw on the subreddit some folks pointing out a new Kickstarter that was for the Butterbot. And I initially was like kind of hesitant about it, right? Because the whole Butterbot debacle with Digital Dream Labs. And so I was like, is this legit or not? After doing some research, it is, in fact, a legit Kickstarter. The company is legit as well. And so what I wanted to do was reach out to the folks who are running the Kickstarter, Circuit Mess, and there's another Geek Club. They're two of the folks who are working on this Butterbot with the Kickstarter up and running. The Kickstarter is probably done now, or like has like 2 days to go based off of when I'm recording this. But I had a chance to talk to the CEO of Circuit Mess, Albert Gajcik, who lent me a lot of his time. We talked about manufacturing. We talked about production. We talked about some of the features of the Butterbot. We did talk about the Digital Dream Labs piece for a little bit. And, you know, some other really, really cool things. How he got his start, lessons he learned from the Kickstarter. So I think it's going to be a really cool interview. I enjoyed it. I really loved talking to him. I will talk to you more about that after the interview is over. But until then, go ahead and check it out. This is Albert Gajcik talking about the Butterbot. first of all, before I get started, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your busy schedule. As you said before we started, we're all busy, but you know, I'm in my pajamas below the screen. So thank you for coming out.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah. So for those of you who are listening, we have Albert Gajcik. He's the CEO of Circuit Mess. He is also heading up the Butterbot Kickstarter that's out there. I think there's maybe like 3 days or 4 days left. By the time to this recording, it'll probably be done, which sucks for everybody who missed out. But yeah, I want to welcome you, hopefully you're doing okay today.
Yeah, of course. You know, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm doing well today. It's a busy day. Actually, at the time of recording this, it's like the Saturday after Black Friday. So, you know, we had a totally manic week when it comes to advertising, getting new customers, but also fulfilling the orders. It's quite hectic, and despite the time of the year always for us, not because of the Butterbot, because, you know, the Butterbot needs to be delivered next year, but because, like, we have other products that we're also selling and fulfilling. And the thing is, I'm actually sitting right now in our manufacturing plant in Europe, and this is where all the magic happens, and we're actually still open, so unfortunately manufacturing is still running. We have been doing quite a lot of, like, I would say overtime and things like that. Like, our machines have been running for triple shifts, you know, for a couple of months now, which is kind of making people all a bit tired, you know. But I think, you know, it's going to be worth it, because this is, you know, going to be our best year so far when it comes to, like, all of the sales data and everything else. So I'm really excited at the same time.
Working hard, playing hard. That's the philosophy that we try to live by, right?
You know, one of the things that really, by the way, this is the Butterbot in front of me, like, speaking. Sometimes he says something randomly. The thing, you know, that really is, we had lots of issues this year when it comes to scaling, like, the manufacturing of our products. So we actually have a total of 30 different products, like 30 different SKUs, and we manufacture all of them, like, here. And that requires, like, pick and place assembly for circuit boards, quality control. We place all the components into the products, the bags, and then we ship them. We use different logistics providers. And one of the bottlenecks was the electronics part. So we only have, like, one pick and place machine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was okay for us a few years ago, but now it's a big bottleneck. And because of that, we do, like, double or triple shifts. Fortunately for us, we're actually getting a new, twice bigger machine like next week. So I have been waiting for that one for months. And when you get machines like that, we actually have to wait for them for a long time, because usually they're, like, specialized equipment.
Right.
So when you order them, companies, you know, providers, they actually start manufacturing this manufacturing machine, and then you have to wait for, like, months to actually produce them, and then it starts shipping. And since it's usually a big crate, it ships for, like, a month from, I don't know, somewhere, like, in this case, China. And, you know, it's crazy.
The engineers have to manufacture the manufacturing machine.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
and that's so interesting, that engineering, that inception of engineering that has to go on.
When you think of it, it's a bit weird, but actually somebody needs to design something that is going to manufacture other products. But that's how it works, you know, in every single aspect. Even, like, in software, somebody, like, an example, needs to write an operating system that people are going to use to create other operating systems or programs or, you know, code. So it's interesting.
Coding tests so that it automatically tests the code that you're writing.
That's actually a whole field of, like, computer science and engineering, but it's interesting.
So for folks who don't know, Circuit Mess is a subscription service, delivers new robots, electronics, with a wonderful target of teaching individuals how to build technology, emphasis on the build. For those of our listeners that are just learning more about the Kickstarter and are interested in the development of the Butterbot, can you tell us a little bit more about CircuitMess?
Of course. Yeah. So just one thing to mention, you know, Butterbot, it's actually a product that was made by us at CircuitMess and our partners at Geek Club. CircuitMess is a 30 people company. I founded it when I was still in high school, when I was 18. That was roughly 7 years ago. And we basically started with, you know, nothing, no venture capital. And then I started doing Kickstarters. The first product was a game console you could assemble yourself. It ran on like an Arduino, like MCU, you know, you could code it and stuff like that. And I've seen that people really liked building, you know, things like that. And that there was a certain market with people that felt like education and, you know, just in general, it's not enough because everything is so closed. Nobody's really doing anything with their hands anymore. We buy things, we throw them away. Every single phone looks the same. You can't even change the battery and things like that. So people, you know, became a bit sick of that and curious to actually, you know, start doing stuff again. At some point, so you described us as a subscription service. That is like partially correct. So we do have a very strong part of the business, which is like subscription based. It's similar to an example, Crunch Labs or Kiviko or I don't know, Mel Science. That is roughly, you know, I would say 50% of our web shop revenue where you subscribe and then you get, sorry, I need to turn off the Butterbot. Power off. Okay, so now it's turned off. Anyways, my point was the subscription thing, you know, that is something where we like sell you a service where you get a new box every month that is teaching you about a new topic, you know, so it's kind of like imagine there's a curriculum. Yeah. And the thing that we also do, we also sell like one-off bundles of different products. Like we have an example, a robotics bundle where you build a robot arm and this like voice assistant. We have a bundle that is like space themed, but also we have lots of presence in physical stores as well. That's actually a whole different like division. And Geek Club, so that's actually a company that is quite similar to us. They have been doing these small soldering kits, and their forte is like designing unique products where everything is like PCB based. And we had this really good partnership with them last year where we did a NASA licensed product with them, which was like a scale model replica of the Perseverance space rover. And that was, you know, very successful. And actually the Butterbot, it's like an idea that, you know, all of us came together to. It was an idea before we actually started working together. And we all wanted to do it so much, but it was a much basically, you know, the most complex product that we were doing so far. The Butterbot right now, yeah, it's live on Kickstarter. So at the time of like filming this video, we raised more than $410,000 when it comes to like revenue on Kickstarter in just like 24 days. So, you know, it's really successful, has gotten lots of support from the press, you know, from the community. So I'm really, you know, grateful for everyone that has supported the campaign so far. Yes.
It really is incredible. I can't imagine 400,000 right now. And to raise that much in such a short period of time for some of those stretch goals that we'll talk about, you know, that's cool. I hope you get to the 500K because that would be a cool stretch goal as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is our sixth Kickstarter actually. So when we do Kickstarters, we kind of, you know, are trying to reach, you know, this $500,000 mark because it sounds like a lot of money, but, you know, it's products like this, you know, they take money and time to develop.
Yeah.
And, you know, burning through like $500,000 to develop a product that is going to be reliable and, you know, work well, it's easier than you think, you know, and lots of cases, like we actually had to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars before the campaign actually starts to build a product, build something that works, to do all the marketing, you know, and also invest in like advertising, doing all the promotional materials, getting people to know about the product. But we are kind of like experienced in this already since we had six Kickstarters so far. We delivered all of them, you know, so, but, and, you know, we're trying to scale with each one.
Yeah. I mean, it brings up a good point in one of the questions I had, which is, you know, what lessons had you learned from your previous Kickstarter efforts that you were able to apply to the Butterbot so far?
I mean, okay, yeah, I can tell you something more about that. I mean, look, every single Kickstarter we did, there was a certain challenge, you know, especially, I mean, the most challenging one for me was the first one. So the biggest, I would say, mistake that we did with the first one was, you know, I was like 18 years old back then, and then I was doing this game console, and I wanted the product to be as cheap as possible because I wanted to make it affordable so that everyone can buy it. But the thing is, we didn't really have experience when it comes to like setting the pricing of a physical product. I didn't know what to expect. So I missed lots of things in these calculations. Like, I didn't count in the fact that when you ship products to your customers, a certain percentage of those products is going to get lost in the shipping. So you have to ship them again because people need to get their products. Then sometimes the manufacturing companies, partners, raw material suppliers, they sometimes also make things wrongly. You know, they send the wrong components. Sometimes the components don't work. You know, sometimes you get something that is counterfeit or something like that. And then sometimes, of course, you make some mistakes, you know, like you, an example, ship a certain percentage of products without a certain component, or you, I don't know, ship multiple packages to a certain amount of customers because you are unorganized and have never done it before with logistics, you know, so lots of issues there. And then like when we delivered this entire project, but it was a big learning experience. It was quite stressful, especially, you know, because like I was just like also on the, in a big, I would say, crossroad, you know, I was like trying to understand whether I want to enroll into college or focus on building this business, you know, so it was like a big, you know, decision for me what to focus on. So it was stressful. And then when the whole project finished, when we looked at the profit and loss statement, we figured that we didn't lose money, but we also didn't really make much money, you know? So like getting $100,000 of sales and putting in like months of work to actually have it delivered and basically like, you know, having the worst summer of your life, you know? And then, you know, figuring that you didn't make any profit at all. So makes you feel a bit like a nonprofit organization. It's a bit of a, you know, sour feeling in your mouth. But that really taught me something that I really need to watch out how to price those products and to expect the unexpected, if I can, you know, say that. Yeah. The other products, you know, that we did, you know, with every newer product, we were becoming more and more, I would say, smart. One of the things that we did, so our third Kickstarter was for the STEM box. So the subscription that we currently sell, that one, you know, that's actually bringing like 40% of our annual revenue. So it's very important for us, but it started as a Kickstarter project. And in that Kickstarter, we were selling this subscription in a way that you get a new project every 3 months. But what we didn't expect is that people were actually willing to pay for lots of these boxes in advance. We had people buying like 2.5 years worth of products. And then, you know, just when we started fulfilling this, you know, the whole economic situation started unfolding in a way that, you know, there was COVID and then, you know, there was inflation. So, you know, you charge somebody something like a certain amount of money 2.5 years in advance, but you're not really counting in the fact that everything is going to be more expensive to manufacture in 2.5 years, you know, so it eats up your margin. And if, like, an example, things become 10% more expensive for you, you know, that's still quite a major change, you know, because like usually these hardware products, they usually, companies like ours operate with some kind of a gross profit margin of like 30 to 35%, which means like if you lose 10 to 15, you're basically giving away, you know, half your profits. And if you're not cautious, you know, you can get in a situation where you don't have enough money to fulfill to the customers. Mm-hmm. So anyways, like all of the, I would say, big learnings are related to, I would say, like pricing. And I mean, of course, there are some like more simple learnings that I had, like an example, when I was just starting with this first project, the first thing I did was I hired like 9 friends from school, you know, to pack these boxes with me and fulfill the projects, which was working well for a certain amount of time, but then, you know, when issues arise in the company and nobody's really taking you seriously, then, you know, these friendships break and, you know,
Yeah, my dad always said, don't buy or sell cars to family and friends.
that's a good point, you know, because, I mean, it depends, like, what kinds of cars was your dad selling? I suppose, I hope they were not stolen. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I definitely agree with that. I mean, I work with my brother in this business. You know, he has been with the company, like, since the beginning, and he's actually one of the most important, like, developers for our products. And every single product has been developed, you know, by him and the rest of the embedded software development team. But, you know, in a way, you need to have like a certain, I would say, you need to kind of like get this relationship straight in a way that you understand that, you know, family is family, but also like work is work.
Right.
So we need to, you know, respect other people as, you know, coworkers, but still, you know, not make it weird, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so far we've managed to find a way to work together. You know, it has been going quite well. Yeah.
That's my current job. My younger brother's looking for a career change. He's like, huh? Give me a job. They're like, nope. I love you. I love you. I'll find a job in a different company somewhere, help you out there. But I don't think we should work together.
Yeah, but that's actually quite mature, and most people, you know, have an issue saying that, but it is, you know, quite necessary if you want to have like I would say good relationship, like on but also outside of work with, you know, those people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Changing gears just a little bit. We gotta get this out of the way. Here it is. The elephant in the room, interdimensional elephant. We know for the Butterbot that there's a previous effort, you know, a lot of folks had difficulties getting their money back. Even as a podcast, we kind of put a lot of stock in the previous effort. And so the Digital Dream Labs, their version of the Butterbot, controversy there. But what I want to ask, from your perspective, did you have any conversations with the team about how to reestablish kind of a trust from fans? And if so, what was your strategy? What has been your strategy to make that a reality?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I saw this question coming, you know, so it's a very hot topic currently. The only thing connecting us with Digital Dream Labs is the fact that we are basically making a product that is depicting the same cartoon character. But the thing is, like, so not sure if you know that, but this is not our first licensed product. We had a Kickstarter project in 2021, which was called the CircuitMess Batmobile. And it was a licensed product that looked like a Batmobile, but also had like a camera, object recognition, things like that. It was like a high-tech, you know, toy that you build yourself. And one of the main reasons why we actually wanted to make a brick and mortar product as our second licensed product with Warner Bros. Was because Rick and Morty is actually one of the highest crossing properties for them when it comes to like merchandising. So it has been going quite well, you know, financially. And in some aspects, it has been even surpassing the financial success of evergreen properties such as, you know, Batman, which is like one of the most, you know, iconic cartoon superhero characters in general.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when we were thinking about the Rick and Morty like product, we actually had several things that we pitched to Warner Bros, but also pitched to, we have like a set of, you know, test customers that we use to pitch, you know, different ideas to see what people actually like. And then, you know, Butterbot was something that everyone, you know, immediately really wanted to, you know, come through. Of course, I mean, like after we started developing the product, at some point we saw that there was something happening with like this other company, Digital Dream Labs, that was depicting, you know, the same character. And, you know, to be honest, it caused lots of issues to us because people, when we started advertising the product, people couldn't really I mean, the products that we did and the product they have, if you, you know, look at it side by side, they're much different. You know, we wanted to do something that is realistic and basically the same size as the robot in the cartoon, but, you know, people didn't see the difference. And then basically we were getting lots of angry customers from Digital Dream Labs coming to us, asking for refunds and, you know, sending nasty messages because they were just angry and thought we were the same company. So, you know, we made Warner Bros. Aware of that. And they said, look, it's, you know, that's just how it is. We can't, you know, really help you anywhere there. So, you know, that's completely fine. When it comes to like establishing trust, I mean, to be honest, we haven't really been trying to reestablish any trust because I don't think we have like promised any of our, like we have not broken any of our promises, and I'm not really looking at it, you know, that way. We're making a new product. We have a proven track record. We have fulfilled like 6 Kickstarters before. We operate, you know, with a profit every single year. We're not some kind of a crazy venture capital powered business that, you know, might go out of business, which is the case with lots of companies these days, especially if you're into AI. And, you know, I just view this as another, you know, Kickstarter. But of course, it has been something that lots of people have been asking us. As I was telling, you know, before we started this podcast, we even had to pin like a comment on Kickstarter, you know, just explaining that we're not the same company as Digital Dream Labs, because that was, you know, a very common question. But definitely, you know, what I can, you know, promise to our customers is that we definitely will deliver this to them the same way we delivered all of our previous products that we have been doing. We've actually sold more than 100,000 products in the past 7 years that we like exist. And we've actually had our best, I would say, like Q4, like since the company started like this year.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. You know, I mentioned reestablishing trust, and I mean, really what it is, you know, especially for folks who weren't aware of your previous efforts, you are now establishing your trust with the fans. Yeah. And so wanted to point that out. I want to make a point too about licensing, because I think that's important for folks to understand. You know, it's you talk about Batman licensing, right? Like, there's a Funko Batman, right? And there's comic Batman, and then there's movie Batman, and even in the comics, there's different forms of Batman, right? These are all, you know, there's a Batmobile Hot Wheel, like that's all licensing. Just because you see Batman doesn't mean it's all made by the same company. So I think that's an important point to distinguish.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the way licensing works, you know, this whole business works in a way that you have property holders that have these big established brands, you know, and these companies, like an example, Warner Bros., have been spending, you know, lots of effort and money into making something that is very valuable. You know, Batman, an example, as a property has existed for, I'm not sure how long, but it's probably, I would say like 50 or 60 years. I should know this as a Batman fan. But anyways, like my dad grew up, you know, watching Batman. I grew up watching Batman, you know, kids nowadays, you know, that are getting like, just, you know, starting to watch movies are, you know, also watching the Batman. And then, you know, they want to also make money in other ways. So they license, you know, their property to other companies. They're called licensees. And then they make products that, you know, have their logo or shape or, you know, the likeliness of this product and something like that. But, you know, this is the whole situation with us in Digital Dream Labs. It's a bit different than when we did the Batman, you know, product, because when we did the Batmobile, you know, there's hundreds of Batmobiles on, you know, the market. You know, there's Batmobiles, like even Lego is doing a Batmobile, right. Mattel is doing a Batmobile, Hasbro is doing one, lots of, you know, if you type in Amazon, you know, it's, but with the Butterbot, like, I don't think there was any other attempt other than us and Digital Dream Labs when it comes to making a product that is trying to, you know, mimic, you know, that is inspired by, you know, this character from the show. So maybe because of that, you know, it looks so similar to the customer. So I can see where, you know, the whole confusion is coming from.
Yeah.
One thing that I also wanted to mention is, like, this is actually not just the single Rick and Morty product that we have in the pipeline. So as you've seen, like, the whole concept that we have is a bit, different than what, Digital Dream Labs had. Like, we have a controller here, different, like, modules that you can plug into. You know, the whole product was basically, like, built from scratch by us. And there's also, like, a few other products that are going to come up that are going to be super cool. Unfortunately, I'm going to get smacked, by the legal team if I tell you anything about it, but, it's going to be super cool. And there's also some other, properties from Warner Brothers that, we have managed to get in our contract. So, there's something new cooking, so
that's fantastic.
And, Rick and Morty, like, just one thing that I wanted to say is I'm really happy to be in this podcast because the level of enthusiasm from, the fan community that, we are getting from Rick and Morty fans, it's like something that I haven't really seen in other communities. Like, Batman fans are quite loyal as well, but they are more like, I don't know, maybe just, less vocal or less crazy. But, the Rick and Morty community, like, when we started showing this product, they were getting so much organic, traction. Like, we didn't even have to put any advertising money in it. We were basically getting, like, hundreds of people, signing up for the product, per day. So, I'm really happy with that. And, just one thing to mention, ButterBot actually is a product. It's something that I was sort of like dreaming about, ever since I started watching the show. I actually started watching the show in 2016, even before I founded CircuitMiss. And I was actually introduced to the show by one of my good friends that is currently leading all of the e-commerce web development in the company. So, it's funny, like, we started watching that in high school, and now, we get to build a product that is going to have, this super cool character,
Yeah.
And the ButterBot, It's in my view, it's like phenomenal in a way that it's actually a character that has such small screen time. Like, I think it appears in actually just two seasons. And, in this, like, very small screen time, it managed to sort of like become a pop culture icon that people really recognize and like, so it's really interesting in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one of the most visible characters on the show. Yeah.
Quick little ad break.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Back to the interview. It's super cool to have this butter robot and to come up with some of the features that obviously its purpose isn't just to serve butter. Not in our world, no. I wanted to ask you, man, what are some of the really cool features that you and your team are excited to bring forward? I know there's a lot of these this on the Kickstarter, but maybe you can talk to a few of them.
So a few things that I really like about this product is, so when we were doing, the ButterBot, actually, I have this one, you can see like the electronics design and things like that, the camera now, and people are listening to this can't see it, unfortunately, but
it looks cool.
The thing that we wanted to do here is, you've probably seen that most of these voice assistants that you talk to, they, have lots of latency. They, need to basically record your voice sample, then send it to the internet. And then, like, the server, processes that, sends it back to you, and then it replies, like, we had an example, I'm not sure if you've seen the Humane AI pin, like, it was like a hot gadget, like, it's like an AI gadget, that was all around the news, earlier this year. And, we had this issue. And, most of the products were done like this. The thing that we did with the ButterBot, we're actually using one of the latest processor architectures, when it comes to embedded computing, that is making the product do all of the speech recognition and speech synthesis in real time, offline, on the device. So basically, you can have like a device that, is not taking lots of, you know, like power, but you can basically talk to the robot. I mean, obviously, we're not trying to make something that is, you know, on the level of ChatGPT that can have, you know, all of the civilization's knowledge to tell us something like that. Yeah. But it's fun that, you know, it replies immediately. It, you know, recognizes that. And we just wanted to make something that's going to be like a desk buddy that you will be able to fiddle around. One of the big things for us is also open source technology. So when we do our products, so every single product that we did actually has a repository on GitHub. So if you go to GitHub CircuitMist, you can find all of our code, you can build the code, and you can change every single aspect of the product. And we also have this app called CircuitBlocks that is allowing you to code our products in a simplified way by dragging blocks. And you can also do it in Python. This is like, you know, an interesting and clever way that we also wanted to implement on the Butterbot, because Python is something that usually can't run on embedded devices because it's not compiled. It's like interpreted by the device.
Right.
So we had to code some kind of an interpreter that then, you know, takes the code that you write. And then Python is like, in general, less complex to code stuff in compared to, I don't know, C++, because you don't have to worry about memory allocation and things like that. And one of the very interesting features that, you know, we also wanted to have people, you know, do and explore is, so this is like one of our, this is actually our first product that comes completely assembled. So you don't have to, it comes, you know, as a finished toy, which is very unlike everything else that we did, but we still wanted to have people like explore and connect something to it. So that's why we, you know, made these modules that you can also plug into the robot and then expand its functionalities. One of these modules is also like a small prototyping board where you basically get the input and output pins from the processor of the robot to, you know, do something. And the fun stuff is also every single module can actually be plugged into the robot, but also into the controller. And then it does, you know, something different from there. Although, you know, this product is still, we need to develop lots of stuff here. Oh yeah. And one very interesting feature is object recognition. So that was something really, really fun to develop, because mm-hmm. we actually had to work a lot, you know, with neural networks and lots of this cutting edge, you know, tech that is very fun, you know, to work with. And basically what we're doing right now, we're trying to make the robot recognize some of the, you know, most common objects that you would have on your desk and then interact differently there. So, you know, with the robot, we're not really trying to, you know, do like the next Amazon Alexa, because it makes no sense to do something like that. We're sort of like just trying to make like a video game character in real life, like an NPC that you can, you know, act with, that you can, you know, do stuff with. That's the whole idea.
Yeah. Make it very offline, you know, standalone. You know, it's air gapped, so like all of the processing is there, right?
So yeah, it's not very offline. It's actually completely offline. It can connect, you know, to your phone if you would like to do it. It has Wi-Fi, but only to speak to the controller. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, actually in theory, you can change the code and have it connect to the internet, but we intentionally didn't want to do it because we did like we did want a voice assistant, like a do-it-yourself Alexa before. And, you know, we tried to make it as secure as possible. Didn't have any security issues ever, but still, we have been getting lots of like messages from people asking us, hey, is this thing secure? Like, you know, this is like a robot that is in my home. It's listening at all times.
Yeah.
And it's sending to the internet. Am I safe? And then you also start thinking, you know, maybe that's not a good thing to do. And, you know, you've seen how many issues there were with different online connected products, such as cameras, you know, and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I mean, things have gotten so bad that, you know, the main selling point of Apple's new AI is that it's going to run on device, because otherwise, you know, basically it would be feeding all of your data to some kind of a server all the time. So that was one of the important points for us. Because, you know, this is a microphone and a camera, and now, you know, we connect it to the internet, and, you know, it sounds like basically a recipe for a disaster, a security disaster. So
right.
It's not something we want to do.
Yeah. Like the Nest and the home apps, right? And people like being able to hack into those and see what's going on and unlock doors and all that stuff.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, but yeah. I don't want to name any names, you know, so yeah. Just trying to be politically correct here, you know.
So you mentioned the modules. I think it's super cool, all the different modules that you're coming up with. Like, I saw the stinkometer, which is not a module I would ever necessarily think of adding for me, but I'm like, that's cool. So like, are there any other like cool modules or ideas in the pipeline for you that you're excited about? Or, you know, are there things where we should be stoked for?
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is here is, as you can see, like all of these modules have the same connector, and you know, the idea is to launch new stuff as well that we will be able to offer to people. But also, it, you know, this thing, the prototyping module, the Galactic Soldering Arena, kind of like also allows you to build your own modules. These modules, you know, if I'm going to be 100% honest, they were really hard to get approved by the licensor. Not because, you know, they don't want to do it, but you know, the thing is, like, when you do stuff like this, you are kind of modifying, you know, the appearance of character, and you know, it's something that is, you know, not from the show, and then lots of, you know, questions are there whether you can and cannot do it, because licensing, it doesn't work in a way that you just do whatever you want. You know, you need to make a product that is going to sort of like blend, you know, the technology and the like product that you have with the property. You know, you can't just, you know, go and color the Batman green because you feel like doing it. You know, it needs to look in a way that's not going to hurt the IP. So these modules were, you know, quite challenging. We had lots of support, you know, from the European, you know, team at Warner Brothers, and you know, other people that we work with, such as ELC Brands, which is sort of like a company that is standing between us and Warner Brothers Consumer Products. But to answer your question, the plan is to do something more. It's in the works, actually, and we're trying to get it approved. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to see this become, you know, a reality soon. One of the biggest priorities for us, though, is to finish what we have promised and fulfill it to the customers. You've seen probably the timeline on the Kickstarter page. You know, the plan is to fulfill like next year in July, which sounds like a huge amount of time, but when it comes to product development, it's actually, you know, that's going to come in a blink of an eye. This is my sixth Kickstarter, and you know, time just flies when you're having fun or have deadlines. So the thing is, when we develop products like this, you know, we need to smash all the bugs, make sure the product works, make sure manufacturing works. Manufacturing is a whole new story, because then when you manufacture, you mentioned like code tests, like the people write. We actually have to design not, you know, just the coding tests, but like we have to design these test jigs. They're actually like hardware pieces where you put inside circuit boards that then perform inspection and flash the firmware. And then every single product that we do, it like needs a different testing procedure, because there's not like a one size fits all testing, you know, procedure. You basically have to go backwards and see and test every single chip that, you know, is on it. So lots of work there. So we would love to add new features to the product and new like modules, but the main priority is to fulfill what we have, you know, promised. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to make this a Digital Dream Labs thing, but, you know, people are probably watching us very closely because, you know, we've broken promises from this other company. And what we definitely don't want to show here is that we, you know, are going to be late with this delivery. So that's definitely something that is our, if I'm going to be 100% honest.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. You know, you start adding that scope creep in, and then it starts distracting your focus and your efforts from the primary goal, which is to deliver the best damn Butterbot.
We call it in the company the process of feature crippling the product. unfortunately, it happens all the time. Like when you develop products, you want to be creative. You want to be, you know, you want to give as much as possible to the customer and code as many things. I feel like, you know, an example, game developers feel like this all the time. They want to build this super unique video game. It's going to have so many features and levels. But then, like, if you want to do too much and you don't leave enough time for testing and actually shipping, you know, the game or the product, then, you know, all of this work and all of this, these extra features didn't really mean anything, you know. So it's like it's tough, you know, it's tough. Yeah. Sometimes you just want to do the best for, you know, the person that purchased that, but you make the total opposite. So, you know, just making products in general, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. July next year, we talked about manufacturing and the manufacturing capabilities that you guys have out there. When the Kickstarter is going to end probably by the time this airs, two questions. One, when can backers kind of expect to start seeing their ButterBot ship? You know, is it that July timeframe? And then the second question is, if fans did miss out on the Kickstarter, how soon after the initial bot delivery are you hoping to get them out to the masses?
Yeah, so after Kickstarter, we are going to have the product available on Indiegogo In Demand. For those who didn't hear about it, it's basically like a program where Kickstarter campaigns have like an extended month of sales on Indiegogo. What we always do, we reward the Kickstarter backers with the lowest prices to incentivize everyone, you know, to, and also thank them for purchasing and supporting the project at its very like infancy. But still, you know, even on Indiegogo, we will try to provide, you know, prices that are going to be lower than the actual MSRP, you know, the selling price at the end. When can people expect this? So both on Kickstarter and on Indiegogo, we always make a, you know, timeline showing to the people, like, what are we going to do when. We also write Kickstarter updates on every single project that we do quite regularly, usually like every 2 weeks, where we update everyone on what's happening. For Kickstarter, the plan is to start shipping in July, and then Indiegogo is going to ship, you know, a month after that, so that'd be August. That is going to be a fun summer. But also when it comes to manufacturing capabilities, you know, the thing is, we, as I said, we currently have 30 different products, so multiple different product lines, different departments. And, you know, we, one of the biggest issues this year, to be fair, was keeping up with, you know, the demand that we were having. So we had to expand our capabilities quite a lot. Like, an example, we bought new manufacturing lines for plastics that basically allow us now to do 300% more. We had to purchase, you know, this new manufacturing line for electronics, like the PCBs and assembly. We automated, you know, basically the complete process of packing, you know, stuff with this big machine that is putting components into tiny bags. So now we have this whole manufacturing line. It's similar to what, in example, Lego is doing. You know, they don't pack bricks with, you know, humans, you know, they basically have these machines that place it in these bags. So it's something that we have to do because, you know, you just, every single machine there, like it's, you know, quite expensive. So you have to go into that investment. Sometimes, you know, even get like a lease or a loan from a bank, you know, because it's to come back, you know, to you, that investment in a few years. But, you know, for us, it was quite necessary this year because we had a really high, you know, spike in sales in the second half of the year, you know, lots of these new channels that were open. So yeah.
All right, cool, man.
So I don't think, like, you know, the ButterBot, I'm not really afraid of, like, the I'm not afraid of the capabilities, like the manufacturing capabilities.
Right.
I mostly like, I think the biggest, like, challenge that we now have to solve is we really need to develop a product that people are, you know, going to like. And I think, like, unfortunately the way the modern world works is that usually companies ship, you know, products that are unfinished, you know, at the launch. And this is, you know, quite visible when you have software products, mainly, you know, video games. Yeah. I think there was lots of disappointment with the gaming industry there.
Right.
And that's something we are trying to maximally avoid, especially because, I mean, our products, you can update them, but you can't update hardware. So the thing that you ship to the customers, that's, you know, with them. You can't just, you know, update a non-working battery charging circuit or something like that. So we definitely need to make sure that this goes through lots of testing so that it's, you know, durable and works in the way we intended it, you know, to do.
Understood.
That's what I would say, like, reliability and, you know, bug-free product is something that, you know, I would say is more important than adding lots of these features. And so that's, I would say, like, I mean, that goes with every single project we do. That's something that is primary there. Yeah.
Thank you so much for all of this, all the questions that you've been answering. I wanna give you the last word, and you know, what do you want to leave us off with? What do you want to leave listeners off with? The fans, the backers of the Kickstarter.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, I'm sorry if this was like a lengthy podcast. I can talk a lot, you know. So
no, you're good. You're good, man. No, I appreciate the heck out of it.
But you know, I think we covered some really interesting topics here, and usually I don't get to talk about these things in interviews that I do, you know, with the regular press, you know, so I really appreciate, you know, all the questions there. The thing that I want to leave you with, I don't know, I just wanted to say, like, I mean, this whole project has been a big passion project for me and for most of the team. Like, I think, like, we've done, as I said, like 30 products so far. And now I don't think I ever had a product that I pitched to the rest of, like, the engineering, marketing, and design team, and that, you know, all of the people basically cheered for. This was like a product, you know, I brought it, you know, especially like an example, developers, you know, I showed it to them, and, you know, the whole team was like, yes, I can't believe we're going to work on this. So there's definitely lots of passion going here. You know, everyone is taking this product very personally. Lots of Rick and Morty fans in, you know, the team, all the teams, you know, design, development, manufacturing, you know, so everyone is like very, very proud that this is something that we actually get to do. And the thing that really makes me happy is that people approach this product in a way that they, not in a way that they have to work on it, but that they get to work on it. And this is how I view it as well. You know, we have been, I would say, blessed, you know, by this opportunity to actually make something like this. And I'm really excited. Fun fact, by the way, so we actually started working on the Butterbot like more than a year and a half ago. And, you know, it took us quite a lot to actually go through all of the approvals to actually, you know, make it to actually be allowed to, you know, show it live. And I'm really happy that the reception has been going well, because that means that we'll be able to make more Rick and Morty products in the future. I just wanted to thank once more, you know, to everyone supporting the campaign and like the project. And, you know, one thing that I'm going to leave you with is, like, if anyone has any questions about the product or anything, or CircuitMess or Geek Club, you know, feel free to send me a message. I reply to most of these messages that I get. At least I'm trying. I'm available like on LinkedIn, Facebook, on Kickstarter, even like if you press send a message, I'm reading those messages. So, yeah. And thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course, of course. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, because, you know, we on the licensing merchandise side, obviously I've got a shit ton of merchandise, Rick and Morty stuff all over the place, and so I don't always get a chance to talk to folks like yourself who are giving us you know, physical manifestations of our passion. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I will pass that, I'll pass the link over to everybody to make sure they have it.
Thank you so much.
And there you go. That was Albert. And I gotta say this about him. He has a lot of information. He's passionate. The team of folks that he has are passionate. I know there was no video of the Butterbot or any of its capabilities, but, you know, it is super cool as well. I laughed a couple times when the Butterbot was talking during the interview. If you want to know more about the Kickstarter, about the Butterbot, go over to Kickstarter, look it up. It's everywhere. It's one of their top things right now. All of the videos that Albert mentioned, you know, they do the updates. They you can see it live in action. The prototype is pretty far along already, and I think it's going to be a fantastic item. So I have high faith. I have high trust.
And I think you should too, for the Butterbot coming out. If you like this episode, if you like this interview, make sure to hit me up, hit us up, even though Travis isn't reading emails, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. Mention again, Blue Sky. So find us over on Blue Sky. And, you know, let's hear what you think. Are you excited? Are you wary? Let us know. Until next time I have an interview, this is Brandon. And on behalf of Travis, thank you all for listening.
Bye.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.